in their minds of the death of their Messiah, but now they're called upon as his representatives to go before the leaders of Israel and proclaim truth, even though they deny truth. Because Yeshua, even when he was before Pilate, he said, I've come to reveal truth. And Pilate said, what is truth? And Yeshua didn't answer him because he didn't need to. Because Yeshua was a living truth. And just think what possibly went through Pilate's mind after Yeshua rose from the dead. And he knew that these soldiers were not lying. And then seeing the fallen leaders of Israel coming up with a lie and saying, well, we'll just have those soldiers report that his disciples simply came and stole his body. A complete cover-up. All these things have taken place. And now Yeshua has ascended to the Father. And what has taken place now is that these two men, Yohanan, John, and Kepha, Peter, are standing before the very leaders of Israel that condemned Yeshua to death. And you know what? They don't count their own lives right now as unto themselves, because they know what they have seen and experienced. Spending those three and a half years with Yeshua, think of all the things that he'd done in and through them. And they know beyond a shadow of doubt that he is the Messiah. And they cannot be persuaded. They'll face beatings. They'll face threats of death. They'll face all these things. But they know that the truth that is in them. And they know and they recognize as they look at one another, this is a brand new Yohanan John. This is a brand new Kepha Peter. Because that transformation that has begun is continuing. God is now giving them boldness, even to lay their own lives down for the truth. And that's what you see as men and women who are called martyrs throughout the history of the Messianic community. The Lord filled them with the word of God. The Spirit of the living God gave them the boldness and the power to proclaim it. And they stood in the gap. And one day all those martyrs, which it says in the book of Revelation, are underneath the throne of the Lamb, shall one day speak in heaven once their number has been completed. And then the Lord shall descend upon this earth as King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will deal with all those situations. And just think about how intimate that these individuals have with the Lord in knowing that as Messiah laid down his life, so they were called upon. They were chosen. They were equipped. They were empowered. They were not overcome by fear, but willingly they laid down their lives as a holy and living sacrifice unto the Lord, which was their true worship. And you know what? Not all of us are called to do that. Only select ones. But know this, no matter what God has allowed you to face in life, he's given us a provision. He's given us and equipped us and gave us grace that we can overcome anything in and through him. And that is a joy and hope that we have in Messiah today. So now let us turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And so, Father, we ask that your word will continue to go forth. It's a living word. And it will teach, it will instruct, it will enlighten us that we may become the people of God, being transformed by the power of your word, delighting in all what the Spirit of living God has in us. And may he stir up those gifts that he's given to each and every one of us for the glorification of Abba, Father God, through Yeshua the Son, through the power of the Spirit of the living God, that the kingdom of God will be established in our hearts and all the hearts of those around us. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Acts of the Emissaries of Yeshua Messiah, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. But there was a man named Hananiah, who with his wife Sapphira, Sapphira, sold some property. Now you may be wondering, well, what is this in correlation with? Remember prior how chapter 4 ended? It ended with a man who was a Levite, who was a messianic believer in Messiah, had sold some land. He was from the island of Cyprus, and he simply took all what proceeded from the sale of that land, that land, and simply placed it before the emissary's feet and said these words, "This is a gift I'm giving unto you. Now go and use it for God's glory." So that's kind of the background of what's happening here. Because many times we divide the chapters in the Bible and verse upon verse, you know, it helps us, okay? So we can focus. But as I said last Shabbat, the scripture is interwoven one with another. So let us continue here in verse 2. "And with his wife's knowledge, withheld some of the proceeds for himself, although he did bring the rest to the emissaries." Okay? So on the outward appearance, they were following in by the example of Barnabas here. All right? Up to a point. So what appeared on the outside was that they're doing exactly what Barnabas did here. Let's move forward. "Then Kephas said," now here is a first illustration of an example of the word of wisdom coming to an emissary. All right? That's another spiritual gift. Okay? A word of wisdom. Okay? We don't see here where Kepha wanted to go before the Spirit of Living God and say, "Now, tell me, is this guy bringing the full amount or not?" No. This was instantaneously a word of wisdom by the Spirit of the Living God, because Yeshua is now on the right hand of the Father in heaven. And the promise of the one that was being sent was his Spirit. And this is what the body, the Messianic community, who are 100% Jewish at this point, are being led by. He that is able to divide between the joint and marrow, and he does not speak of himself, the Ruach, but he speaks of Yeshua and the Father. Okay? He is the Spirit of truth. So let's move forward. "Then Kepha," Peter said, "why has the adversary so filled your heart that you lie to the Ruach HaKodesh?" Think about that right now. He's not being promoted to go lay hands on people and suddenly prophesy upon them, as what is practiced today in many groups that are meeting today. They'll take young people and say, "Walk up to these people, and anything that comes to mind, just say it." All right? The Word of God says that the Spirit of the Living God was speaking through Kepha. This is a word of wisdom, undeniable, okay? I'll begin there at 5:3 again. "Then Kepha said, why has the adversary so filled your heart that you lie to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and keep back some of the money you have received for the land?" Now, as we see in the prior verses here, who knew about which was actually happening here? Hananiah and Sapphira, no one else. We don't see where Sapphira said, "You know what, Kepha, my husband's doing this, and you know what, he's not really telling you everything, okay?" She's part of this conspiracy. Now, what have we been reading in the scripture? That these people were being filled with what? The Spirit of the Living God, who speaks only what is true, okay? Not just one time, but multiple times. We as believers need to be filled with what? The Spirit of the Living God continually. Okay? So let's move forward here. Verse 5:4. "Before you sold it, the property was yours. And after you sold it, the money was yours to use as you pleased. So that what What made you decide to do such a thing? You have lied not to human beings, but to God. Here's a brand new revelation. What God is Kepha speaking of, but the Ruach HaKodesh, the third part of the Godhead, where Kepha proclaimed Yeshua as being God, and now he's proclaiming now that the Holy Spirit is also God. So let's move forward here. You have not lied to a human being, but to God. On hearing these words, Hananiah fell down dead. Immediately. Why? Because it was the will of Abba, Father God. Was Hananiah a believer? Absolutely. Do we see this happening every day today? No. But it was God's plan, the Father's plan, that this, in the infancy of the Messianic community, this had to be dealt with immediately. We don't see Kepha rebuking him and saying these words to him. Your spirit is now required of Adonai. He doesn't have to say anything. But this is the will of the Father, that this man was immediately struck dead. We have other examples in the Tanakh of Hophni and Phinehas bringing forth strange fire. And what happened? The Lord consumed them with fire. Okay, so let's move forward here. On hearing these words, Hananiah fell down dead, and everyone who heard it was terrified. Does that mean just within the small group of the Messianic believers? No. Everyone, because everyone knew who was Hananiah and Sapphira. They were people of means and wealth, and they were part of the Messianic community. So there was a check in their spirit that they should not bear false witness in the community and not show appearances that are not pleasing in the Father's sight. So let's move forward here. The young men got up and wrapped his body, Hananiah, in a shroud, and carried him out and buried him. Some 3 hours later, his wife came in, unaware of what had happened to her, happened to him. And think about this. Isn't this woman supposed to be filled with the presence of the Lord? When we go out and we sin against God, knowingly or unknowingly, what happens? The Spirit begins to depart from us, because we're going our own way. We're going on that one off that path here. And with this, we see how important it is for all believers to be filled with what? The Spirit of the living God. So moving forward here. Some 3 hours later, his wife came in, unaware what had happened. Kepha challenged her. Okay? Why is he doing this? Because the Spirit of the living God is leading him to do that. Because the emissaries were the shepherds over this brand new flock of God, which was being added to daily as the Spirit of the living God drew them near. As the scripture says, the Lord added to the congregation, the kehilat, the called out ones, as he so desired. Going forward here. Kepha challenged her, tell me, is it true that you sold the land for such and such price? Yes, she answered. That is what we were paid for it. But Kepha came back to her. Okay? Then why did you people plot to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, here's another word of wisdom that has come to him. Because Hananiah did not reveal this to him. He simply had fallen down dead. So how did Kepha receive this revelation? If not by the power of God through a word of wisdom. you elders and leaders in this congregation, God will give you words of wisdom from time to time. He did it then, and he's going to do that going forward in all these matters. We have to discern whether that is from the Lord or not when we go and express these words going forward here. Listen, the men who buried your husband are now at the door. Instantly, she collapsed at his feet and she died. The young men entered and found her dead and carried her out and buried her beside her husband. As a result of this, great fear came over the whole Messianic community. This is a good fear. Why? Because we're to be truthful in our lives. What we believe, how we live, because we're no longer living our lives unto ourselves. We have to give an account for every word, every thought, every action. And this is what the Lord is impressing upon them. And some would say, all of a sudden now, the lovey-dovey Jesus and the lovey-dovey Holy Spirit has now gone back to the Old Testament and started acting like the God of the Old Testament. But my brothers and sisters, this is the Brit Hadashah. This is the new covenant. Hananiah and Sapphira were true believers in Messiah. And the Lord did not want to allow their sin to cause division. And the witness of this brand new Messianic community was to be pure and holy. God does not tolerate sin. Sometimes it appears that his justice and his judgment are held back. But know this, every thought, every action, every deed, one day will be have to give account for. And the Lord does give examples from time to time when individuals commit sin and the Lord takes their lives. It happens. Let's move forward here. As a result of this, great fear came upon the whole Messianic community, and indeed over everyone who heard about that. Think about that. The members of the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, who are being politically correct in supporting Rome, they heard about this. And they know that there is a God that judges all sin. So moving forward here, verse 5:12. Meanwhile, through the emissaries, many signs and miracles continued to be done among the people. United in mind and purpose, the believers met in Shlomo's, Solomon's colonnade. Notice that. All of a sudden, they're not taking up alms to build a building. Okay? They're supposed to be part of the Jewish community. And where does the Jewish community, most of them, worship in Jerusalem? In the temple courts. It was not God's design that his Messianic community would ever leave or to be divorced from the whole Jewish community. It was never his plan. Man added that, the separation. Those who have been grafted into the spiritual commonwealth of Israel are still part of the spiritual commonwealth of Israel from all the nations. Going forward here. And no one else dared to join them. Notice that. Later in the book of Acts, we'll learn about a sorcerer that wanted to pay for money to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for his own gain. Now the fear of the Lord came upon them so that those who were wolves in sheep clothing were warned. You cannot be part of this community because this is a separate group that is holy unto God. And who determines whether or not the individuals that are part of this Messianic community are walking in holiness before God and one another? It is the Spirit of the living God, and that has not changed from then till now. Let's move forward. Nevertheless, the people continued to regard them highly. Who's the people? The people of the Jewish community who have not received Yeshua as their Messiah. They're showing respect. They're seeing just as Aaron, remember Aaron? Think how difficult that would have been. Here are your two sons that one day are going to take over and help you and assist you. You'll be passing the baton over. They bring a strange fire, which they've already been instructed not to do. And they go and do it. And Moshe turns to his brother and says, be silent. And the fear of Adonai descends upon Aaron. He does not express anger or anything because he knows the will of the Father is the best. And then by possibly them dying, Hophni and Phinehas, immediate like that, they paid for their sin. Judgment fell, but their souls then could be saved. Think of that perspective now. Hananiah and Sapphira, they went off the path, but the Lord said, I will slay you in that I may save your soul. They were not even given an opportunity here to repent because the judgment of God fell. And then sometime in heaven, when they come before the Lord, because it says all the great and the least people of the world, like me, will stand before the Lord and have to give an account for every word, thought, and action we've ever done. And then the books will be open. And then the names will be read, those who have received Messiah. Because when I first read this as a brand new believer in God, I thought, oh my word. That means that they've now been condemned to hell. Scripture doesn't reveal that. Out of God's mercy, they were taken and struck dead so that they could not go down that path and influence other members of the Messianic community to walk in their sin by their example. Let's move forward now. Verse 5:14. I got to read these together. Verse 13. And no one else dared to join them. Nevertheless, the people continued to regard them highly. And throngs of believers were added to the Lord, both men and women. People whose hearts were pure. As a veil was removed from their eyes, they did not argue before the Lord and say, no, you got it all wrong, Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. They simply confessed their sins, and the Lord added them. If you look that at from this perspective, that is how God has designed building his congregations then and even today. And that's why we should never be dismayed when we share our faith with somebody and our testimony and who Messiah is. And if they do not receive Messiah at that moment, we are just simply sowing seeds that can bring birth of salvation in sometime in the future because God never goes against a person's free will. It's up to us. Whether we receive Messiah or not, it's up to us. Verse 5:15. They went so far as to bring the sick into the streets and lay them on mattresses and stretchers, so that at least Kepha, Peter's shadow, might fall upon them as he passed. Crowds also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and every one of them was healed. Now today, some of these guys on TV, these televangelists, they would try to merchandise this right now. And we don't see Kepha now going up to the one gentleman who was a idol maker. We'll deal with him in the later book of Acts, who tormented Paul. Okay? That guy could have walked out of the background now and walked up to Kepha and say, you know what? I got a wonderful way so you can now get money so you can go ahead and have your own little building over here. Why don't we just simply, I'll have one of my artisans come over and they'll just sculpt a statue of you out of clay and we'll hollow out the middle and then we'll pour bronze in that. And what we'll do then is we'll sell these Kepha statues. And anyone who's sick, they can simply go and they can buy that Kepha statue and then hold it before a lamp or hold it before the sunlight, and as your shadow is cast upon it, they'll be instantaneously healed. There are men and women who've been merchandising the gospel, and they're going to have to give an account in the future in all these areas. And it drives the true seekers after God into thinking, well, they're all charlatans. These things have to be said and expressed here. The Spirit didn't come upon Peter and say, oh, by the way, just you walk by all these people and they'll be instantaneously healed by your shadow. This was the power of God that did it for that time and that time only, and I don't believe it's happened since then. Otherwise, these televangelists would be doing it right now. Let's move forward. There's holy water. There's all kinds of crud that they try and sell us to merchandise the gospel and to fill their coffers so they can have multiple mansions and planes and all this other stuff for themselves. And that's not the kingdom. What did Yohanan and Kephas say? Silver and gold have I none, but what I give unto you, rise up in the name of Yeshua. Freely have you received, freely give. We don't own these things. They belong to God. And we should not benefit personally from any of that. Let's move forward. Verse 5:17. But the Haggadol, that's the high priest and his associates, who were members of the party of the Zudakim, who were the Pharisees, were filled with jealousy. Why? Because these guys from Galilee, who were walking in the power of God and the miracles of God who were being manifested, because they thought, well, we simply have to kill this Yeshua, then it's all going to end. But now two of his Talmudim are, the Lord is raising up, they're being filled with the Spirit of the living God, and there are miracles being manifested. In the verses prior there, it says, many signs and wonders and miracles accompanied those emissaries. That's plural. It's not just Kepha himself or Yohanan, but it continued with those emissaries that were called out. Going forward here, they arrested the emissaries and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of Adonai opened the doors of the prison and led them out and said, go stand in the temple court and keep telling the people all about this new life. Think about that. You've just been released from prison, and this angel of the Lord has delivered you. Then he gives you the command not to go on vacation because you suffered enough for Messiah, but go to the literal same place where you just arrested. Okay? These guys don't argue with the angel. They simply say, yes, we will do this. And so they go and they do this. After hearing that, they entered the temple court area about dawn to begin to teach. Now, the Kohen Hagadol and his associates came and called a meeting of the Sanhedrin, that is, Israel's whole assembly of elders, and sent to the jail to have them brought forward. But the officers who went did not find them in prison, so they returned and reported, we found the jail securely locked and the guard standing at the doors, but when we opened it, we found no one inside. Can you imagine the shock? Where'd they disappear? Maybe they heard about Yeshua had the ability to walk through walls. See, all these things are being shared out there going forward. When the captain of the temple police had heard the head kohenim heard these things, they were puzzled and wondered what would happen next. Okay? Going on. Then someone came and reported to them, "Listen, the men you ordered to be put in a prison are standing now in the temple court, teaching the people. The captain and his officers went and brought them in, but not by force, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people." See, things are changing. There's a shifting going on in Jerusalem. They see a man who has been crippled for 40 years is now walking around fully healed. Lazarus is still walking around. He's probably giving testimony, "Yeah, Yeshua came to my gravesite and he called me out. And from that time now, I'm alive." So all these things are happening. And think about all these miracles. Think about those people around Jerusalem who are bringing people from their towns who are sick and possessed by demons, and they're lining them up on the streets, and the believers are saying, "You know what? We want them to be comfortable, so we'll put mattresses down so they can lay and be comfortable." And then if Kepha walks by, instantaneously, they're rising up, being healed. And the demons are being cast out. Kepha doesn't even have to say nothing. This is what's happening. So Jerusalem is in an uproar, and those of the Jewish leaders are just beside themselves. It's driving them crazy because these guys are not following what they should be doing. So going forward here. Verse 27, they conducted them to the Sanhedrin, where the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, demanded of them, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." In whose name? They won't even mention his name, the name of Yeshua. "Look here, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Moreover, you are determined to make us responsible for this man's death." Going on, Kepha and the other emissaries answered, "We must obey God, not men. The God of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whereas you men killed him by having him hanged on a stake. God has exalted this man, and Yeshua now is at the right hand of the Father as ruler and Savior." This is brand new revelation to these members of the Sanhedrin. Just as Yeshua said, "Next time you see me, you'll see me, and I will be in the right hand of the Father." And they were ready to stone him. They were ready to put him to death. And the high priest took his garments and he rent them when Yeshua declared that. So moving forward here. As ruler and Savior, in order to enable Israel to do teshuvah, repentance, and have her sins forgiven. And who were to lead the group in that example? But these very members of the Sanhedrin. Going on, "We are witnesses to these things, so is the Ruach HaKodesh, whom God has given to those who obey him." He's now calling them out on the carpet and saying this: "We're simply obeying the Spirit of the living God. That's why we cannot do what you ask us to do. We must do the will of the Father." Going forward. On hearing this, the members of the Sanhedrin were infuriated. They're ready to explode. And wanted to put the emissaries to death, just as they allowed for Yeshua to be put to death. Not by their own hands, because they did not have the power and authority, but Pilate would have to do another ruling on this. But one of the members of the Sanhedrin rose to his feet, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the Torah, highly respected by all the people. He ordered the men to be put outside for a while. He said, "Please take Kepha and Yohanan, just bring them out. We got to talk among ourselves here." And then he addressed the court, "Men of Israel, take care what you do to these people. Some time ago, there was a rebellion under Todah, who claimed to be somebody special, and a number of men, maybe 400, rallied behind him. But upon his being put to death, his whole following was broken up and came to nothing. After this, Yehuda of Galil, which is Galilee, Judah of Galilee, led another uprising back at the time of the enrollment for the Roman tax. But when was that? That was the time when Miriam and Joseph left Galilee and descended to Bethlehem for Yeshua to be born. Going forward. And he got some people to defect to him, but he was killed and his followers were scattered. So in this present case, my advice to you is not to interfere with these people, but to leave them alone. For if the idea or this movement is of human origin, it will simply collapse. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop them. You might even find yourselves fighting God. They heeded his advice. See, there was one individual here in the Sanhedrin was contemplating all these things. He wasn't just filled with jealousy and filled with anger to the point of putting someone to death, but he just stepped back a moment. Possibly now the veil is being removed from his eyes of who Yeshua is. Going forward, after summoning the emissaries and flogging them, notice that. These Kepha and Peter, they did not get off scot-free here. They were beaten with whips. They commanded them not to speak in the name of Yeshua, and then they simply let them go. The emissaries left the Sanhedrin overjoyed at having considered worthy of suffering disgrace on account of him. Who's the him but Yeshua? And not for a single day either in the temple court or in private homes did they stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Yeshua is the Messiah. Why? Because they were compelled by the Spirit of the living God to speak the truth and to simply lift up Yeshua so that all people could be drawn to him. Part one of this message is now complete.